All right, so today is the 16th of March, 2020. It is, Tzemach, what's our Hebrew date?
20th.
The 20th. Okay, the 20th of Adar, Tafshin Pei. We are up to Mefarshim Day, Parak Tes Zayin, we're in Parsha Sur A, the Parsha of the Moedim. It's a little bit familiar to us, as this is the laning of the last day of Yontif. And I keep getting all these, how do I turn this off? Turn off notifications. Okay, good. So, here we go. So in the beginning of the Parsha, so we're told, so as we've gone through the entire Parsha Sefer Devarim, so as we mentioned when we first started Sefer Devarim, the answer to every question in Parsha Nut, the answer to every question with regards to why is this here, why is this there, so as the Ramban says in the beginning of the Perek, is the answer has to do something along the lines of this is here because the Bnei Yisrael is getting ready to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore things are different. So now we're going through the Moedim, we're going through the holidays again. The holiday, this is probably the third or fourth time that we're going through the entire Moedim, but this is going to be with an Eretz Yisrael twist. This is all going to be about how we're getting ready to go into Eretz Yisrael, and how things perhaps are going to be different then. So here we go. Parak Tes Zayin, Shemor Sechodesh Aviv Vasisa Pesach. You're going to keep the month of Aviv, you're going to keep the month in the spring, Vasisa Pesach LaHashem Elokecha. You're going to do the Korban Pesach for Hashem, your God. So Rashi right away actually had an interesting line. Rashi says, Shamor Shiyehei Roy LaAviv. That what does it mean you're going to keep the month of Aviv? What's there to keep in the month of Aviv? What's there to watch with regards to the month of the spring? So Rashi says it is to ensure that that month actually turns out in spring. And why is that so important? In order that you'll be able to bring the Minchas HaOmer, that you'll be able to bring the Korban HaOmer from the new crops. Now there is a bit of an issue that we're going to get to later on about, well, what happens if the crops aren't ready? So you do a leap year. What if you do a leap year and you're still not ready? Or for whatever reason, what if they're not accessible? So that's a little bit later on that we'll get to. But at least the ideal is that from the new crops of that year, you're going to be able to offer the Korban Omer. So that's number one. That's one thing that Rashi says. So then the Ramban then adds in that ki kasher tziva sheyavi meisir. So why? And he talks about a little bit about why this is here, right? All of a sudden, it seems out of nowhere we're talking about the Moedim again. So the Ramban explains that Hashem is commanded about meisir sheni, and he's commanded about the Bechoros, and he's commanded about those things that are going to be brought and eaten in Yerushalayim. So therefore, we're going to then explain a little bit more, another thing about what we're going to do in order to specifically be brought to Yerushalayim. That we have to bring these korbanos and then celebrate in front of Hashem during those days. So just as we talked about other things being brought up to Yerushalayim, so too we're going to speak about the Moedim, which all have to do with Aliyah L'Regel, and that's the sort of the angle that is taken. Now, there are some interesting halachos that are added in here. Some of them are highlighted by the Sforno. So, Pasuk Gimel, it says, L'Sochal Alav Chametz Shivas Yimim Tuchal Alav Matzos Lechem Oni. You're not going to eat chametz for 7 days. So the Sforno makes a point that Rashi alluded to, actually Sisti Chachamim really, Rashi alluded to it, and Sisti Chachamim pointed it out, that in Pesach Mitzrayim, that the prohibition of chametz was only for 1 day. Yes, it's true that when they left Egypt, and when we were in Parshas Bo, and when we learned about the Korban Pesach then, the Isser of chametz certainly is mentioned. The Sforno claim suggests that it was only for that 1 day. I hear some background there. Someone asking a question? Nope. All right.
I needs to mute his microphone.
Oh. Okay.
I think you can do it. You're the host.
I'm the host. Oh, I can mute his microphone. But how am I going to know if he has a question to ask?
He can raise his hand.
He could raise his hand, and I'm going to see that. Okay, mute him. Ah, he's done. Okay. Who are you? 1 second. You're Shmuel? Sam, who are you?
No, I'm first year
baseball. Oh, got it. Okay. Fine. So Sforno then says, "Afal pisha Pesach Mitzrayim ha'isach husu yom elcha bilvad." As the Gemara points out, should be yosu korban zicharon ha'geula shi'iga berega katan. It's only going to be a small point that you can't eat chametz with it. Should tzarich ikuv basiya. So that's only going to have to do with them. However, later on, it's then going to be a much longer prohibition, a much longer time that we're not going to be able to eat chametz. So, and then he also said, and what are we eating then during that time? What are we then eating during that time? Or why we're eating matzah? Why are we eating matzah? So the pasuk says you're going to eat matzos which are lechem oni. Why? First of all, what is lechem oni? Right. So the Sforno says lechem shayu ochlem ba'oni, things that you ate in poverty. And that you didn't have any time until you could wait for it to rise and for it to become chametz. So why are we going to continue to do that? Because you left Egypt quickly. And the Sforno adds in, "V'tam lahasir chipazon alechem hu, ki temuras oso chipazon ha'oni, ha'ilocha achar kach chipazon ha'geula." That immediately after the chipazon of the oni, you also had another chipazon of the geula. That's that immediately you can go from oni to geula. As this pasuk tells us in Yirmiyahu, this va'fachti avlam l'sason, that your mourning is going to quickly turn around in order to be sason, in order to be joy. That things can happen very, very quickly. So this is a very interesting concept that we recognize the idea that geula could come at any moment. And I think we've given shiurim in the past about the idea of Mashiach and how the perception of how the Mashiach era is going to be, whether it's going to be something that's slow or whether it's going to be something fast, perhaps reflects of the idea that how possible is it that the Geula could come at any moment. Right, that itself is the idea that the Beis Hamikdash is all of a sudden going to fall from Shemayim and also all of a sudden going to appear, right? We've heard of that. I can't look to see if anybody agrees, but I assume we've heard of that idea. So that idea is not necessarily the traditional understanding of Mashiach. That idea is quoted by Rashi in a Gemara and it's out there. It's not exactly mainstream, but it's coming from a Medrash. So why is it that Rashi quoted that? So I thought that maybe Rashi in that era had to present the possibility of Mashiach. How of a sudden is Mashiach going to come when all these Jews are living in the middle of Europe and Bnei Yisrael all of a sudden, like, how is that going to suddenly take place? So we don't know. So we're going to come up with these ideas about how suddenly everybody's going, the Beis Hamikdash is going to fall down from Shemayim and everybody else is going to all of a sudden make their way to Eretz Yisrael. But now we have other perceptions of Mashiach, how the idea that perhaps is a more natural and more lengthy process, but yet we still have the idea of how things will suddenly take place, things will suddenly reveal themselves. Just look around today as how suddenly and how quickly information is able to spread about the current situation we're in, and with regards to the coronavirus, and about how quickly other information spreads throughout the world. Okay. All right, good. So let's continue on as we plow through the landing here. So let's go to Pasuk Ches. So at the end of verse 8, this last section regarding the laws of Pesach, says, Sheshes yamim tochal matzos, at 6 days you'll eat matzos. V'yom hashvi, the seventh day, atzeres l'Hashem elokecha, lo sasem melacha. The seventh day is a atzeres for Hashem. You're not going to do any work. So Sforno says, aha, interesting. Netzru bo Yisrael yachta l'avodas hakel yisparach, v'sharu lo shira b'shvi shel chag hamatzos. Right, why is it that the eighth or the seventh day of Pesach is a significant day? What happened on that? What happened on the seventh day? So that's the day that they were able to cross the Yamsuf. And that's the day that they were able to gather together to sing Shira. That is the Chag. That is the celebration of day seven of Pesach. The idea that everyone gathered together. Lefichach, the Sforno says, "Nekali shosayachem v'lo tasa malacha." So, because everybody gathered together on that day and sang Shira, that is the cause of the prohibition of melacha. Ki lula zeh lo haya shvi kadosh klal. If it wasn't for that, if it wasn't for the fact that something unique happened on day 7, we would not have a day 7. We would not have a day of melacha on day 7. It would not be a prohibition of melacha. It would just be a continuation of the Chol HaMoed of Sukkot. He says, where do we see that took place? Right? Like we have by Sukkot. She'ein hashvi shalom mikra kodesh. That the seventh day of Sukkot is not a day of Kodesh. The seventh day of Sukkot happens to be Hoshana Rabbah, but it is not a Yontif. Why is it not Yontif? So, because there's nothing unique that happened on that day. So the unique thing that happened on the last day of Pesach is the recognition of the gathering together in order to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban also raises an interesting point here, that on this day 7, it makes the comment of lo sasu melacha, that you're not going to go ahead and do melacha. So the Ramban just wonders, why is it that this is the only day that is mentioned. This is the only, we are not allowed to do melacha on the first day of Pesach, we're not allowed to do melacha on the first day of Sukkot, we're not allowed to do melacha on the first day of Shavuos, or on the day of Shavuos, but yet this is the only time in this parak that it mentions this as being a prohibition, an isser of melacha. And he's unclear as to why that is, and truly he doesn't really answer it. Doesn't mention any of the mitzvahs, only mentions this one. But he doesn't seem to go and point out what the answer is. He says, "Va'atam kasher pirash kilova ata rak lahaske ha'ri'ya v'asimcha." That here the idea is to mention the mitzvah of ri'ya and the mitzvah of simcha that everybody had to do. So we're not focusing on the isser melacha. That's going to be mentioned in other places in the Torah. Here we're just mentioning the idea of ri'ya and simcha, the idea of seeing the makom ha'mikdash and the idea of being joyful. So why is it mentioned why do we mention on the seventh day then this idea of the Isser Malacha? That's the part that I'm not really sure what his answer is to. Okay, next, the Pasuk Tess. So in the ninth, round to the next mitzvah, it says, Shiva Shavuos Tisporlach, 7 weeks you'll count, Mehachel Chermesh Bekama. From the first time of the sticking of the sickle, from the time that the sickle gets put into the ground, tachel lispor shiva shavuos. You're going to begin to count 7 weeks. So the Or HaChaim asks an interesting question. He says, did you just double up? If you're following along in the ninth in Pasuk Tess, he says it twice, right? You're going to count 7 weeks. From the time that you stick your sickle in the ground, you're going to begin to count 7 weeks. So we already know about the 7 weeks. Let me just close the door. I believe there is an intense game of sorry going on downstairs in the kitchen. So the Or HaChaim makes a comment. Why does it repeat itself and talk again about the idea of counting the 7 weeks? So he suggests, this is a halachic Or HaChaim. He says, just in case you were not able to stick the sickle in to new grains, still you're going to be counting 7 weeks from then. That although that the mitzvah of counting Sfira is not going to be contingent on sticking the sickle, you're cutting the first wheat or you're going to end up count doing it anyways, even if it was from last year's barley. So then the Or HaChaim says, however, v'yesh l'man d'amar sfira sa'omer b'zman hazeh midrabanan. That's all assuming that the counting of the sfira sa'omer nowadays is only going to be a din d'rabanan. However, aval l'man d'amar d'oraisa kefal kasev l'zamin hazeh. If you hold that sfira sa'omer, counting sfira sa'omer is actually a din d'oraisa, this is the spot where you're going to get that from. I mean, you learn that from this pasuk. 7 weeks you're going to count, and even if you're not going to cut down barley, you're still going to count the 7 weeks. So what is that? What's going on there? So there is a machlokes rishonim, whether it's counting Sfiras HaOmer b'zman hazeh, the actual count itself, is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? So the Ramban, most of the rishonim assume that it is only a din d'rabbanan, it's only a rabbinic law. The person on the other side, the person saying that it's d'oraisa, is a pretty prominent personality, and that's the Rambam. The Rambam holds that it's d'oraisa. The Ramban is most famously the Ramban, but others as well all assume that the counting of Omer b'zman hazeh nowadays, in the absence of the korban, is going to only be a din d'rabbanan. Okay, what else do we got here? Okay, so the next holiday that is mentioned is the holiday of Shavuos. You're going to do this holiday of Shavuos, and it concludes the section by saying, "V'zachar taki eved hayisa b'Mitzrayim," that you're going to remember that you were once slaves in Egypt. So the Ramban comments on this. Where was that? He says, I wanted to mention something a little bit before that. That in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Pasuk before, it says you're going to go and celebrate in front of Hashem. Ata uvincha uvitecha, you, your sons and your daughters, ve'avdecha ve'amasecha, ve'levi asher b'sharecha, yer somi almana, etc. B'makom asher yivcha Hashem elokecha, l'shekein shem usham. In the place that Hashem is going to choose. So the... So the Ramban says, v'lo yadati, he says, I don't know. Im lomar ki la'achar sheyibana beis hamikdash lo nesaf lahakriv karbanos haregalim el b'mokum ahu asher yivchar Hashem. That after they built the beis hamikdash, lo nesaf lahakriv karbanos haregalim, that they only brought the karbanos in that place. They weren't able to bring the Korban Pesach in their place. Or we explain over there that we are not obligated to Lalos L'Regel until they actually chose that space. I mean, what's the Ramban actually being bothered by at this point? So we know that once the base of Midrash was built, that was going to be mitzvah aliyah l'regel, and no mitzvah things can be done in other places. But what about before that time? Before that time, were they chayiv in aliyah l'regel the same way that they are in order to go to Yerushalayim? That's the shaila that's out there. I was curious as to I didn't have a chance to investigate a little bit further. But the book of Shmuel opens up with this issue. The book of Shmuel opens up with the issue of Elkanah, who was the father, the eventual father of Shmuel, who was going with Chana regularly to the Mishkan in Shiloh in order to be Ola L'Regel. So it's a bit of a question of and part of what Elkanah did was is that he went around convincing other people to be Ola L'Regel as well, to go with him to Shiloh as well. So was that because of the mitzvah d'oraisa? I mean, what was the impression that we have is that people weren't. So is that because they weren't obligated to, or just because they were obligated to, they just weren't? So that's a bit of a question. Perhaps the Ramban is taking a stand on that particular issue. And then one other thing to mention. It says v'shamarta in pasuk yud beis v'zacharta ki eved ayisa b'mitzrayim. You'll remember that you were slaves in Egypt. V'shamarta v'yasisa, you will watch and you will do esachukim ha'ila, these laws. So what are these laws? So the Sfarno says b'nesinas leket upeya l'ratzon l'fnei Hashem, in order to give the leket and peya in front of Hashem. So then you're left with, okay, well, what does that have to do with being a Vadim in Egypt? So he says, Shotziacha Misham V'nasim L'cha Osher V'nachasim, because when you left Egypt, Hashem didn't let you go empty-handed. Hashem gave you a lot of stuff. Hashem gave you all the Osher, some of the wealth of Egypt, in order for you to be able to take it with you, to be able, you know, to be able to then build upon. So therefore, you should also be willing and able to assist others in order to ensure that they have a little bit of a basis in order to be able to start, in order to be able to collect, so that they'll have what to live, and hopefully be able to go from there and be able to create better futures for themselves. I guess we'll stop here.